أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين، وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، Welcome to another episode of our Tafsir page by page, and today inshallah ta'ala we will cover page 143, which is towards the beginning of the 8th juz of the Quran, Surah Al-An'am. In the previous episode, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to us how the disbelievers, even if the major signs of Allah azza wa jalla were to come to them from the descent of the angels and from the resurrection of the dead and from gathering all of the things that they wanted, they still wouldn't believe unless Allah azza wa jalla willed for them to do so. And how those people, when they do so, when they disbelieve in Allah azza wa jalla and they turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they oppose the prophets and messengers of Allah and essentially become enemies to Islam and to the prophets and messengers of Allah during their times, then those are people that Allah Azza wa Jalla has allowed them to do so. Allah Azza wa Jalla describes them as the devils of humans and jinn, that they speak to one another and they motivate one another, encourage one another to oppose the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said that from the wisdoms behind this, and for the one of the reasons that Allah Azza wa Jalla has allowed this to happen, is as a test for the prophets and for the messengers and the believers who follow them, that there will always be people who oppose you in terms of your religion, your belief, your faith. And so the Muslim therefore has to find ways and means to remain steadfast during those challenging and trying times. They must find the means of iman and worship and righteous deeds to continue to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though it may be difficult at times or challenging at other times. And for that Allah azza wa jal rewards them greatly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in those verses that we covered, that if you were to follow the vast majority of those people, the vast majority of people upon the earth, then you would be misguided and you would be turned away from the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because the majority of people don't believe, the majority of people don't accept Islam, the majority of people will not die upon the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the verses that we continue with today, verse 118 onwards, Allah Azza wa Jal then says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فَكُلُوا مِمَّا ذُكِرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ بِآيَاتِهِ مُؤْمِنِينَ. So eat any animal over which Allah's name has been pronounced if you believe in His revelations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in those previous verses, after speaking about iman and guidance and how Allah azza wa jalla knows best those who are guided and those who aren't, Allah azza wa jalla now gives us a command that the people of iman and belief should abide by. And that is that the people of iman and the people of belief in Allah Azza wa Jal eat, in terms of the meat that they slaughter, that which Allah Azza wa Jal's name has been recited upon. Allah's name is pronounced upon that meat and then they eat it. And that is because the people of Jahiliyyah or the people of pre-Islam, they used to sacrifice and slaughter to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or they would eat from meat that wasn't sacrificed and slaughtered at all, and so therefore Allah's name is not mentioned. Either because the animal is dead, is from carrion meat, meaning animals that have died of their own accord without being ritually slaughtered, they would eat from it. And they would say that this is something which Allah caused to die, and so therefore we're going to eat from it. Or they would slaughter to other than Allah Azza wa Jalla and sacrifice to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, invoking the names of their gods and idols besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, and so therefore they wouldn't invoke the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, but for you, the people of Iman, you recite the name of Allah Azza wa Jal when you slaughter, as we recite the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we eat as well. And that is from the etiquettes that unfortunately many Muslims today are negligent of. That before they eat, they mention the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. To say Bismillah before you eat is from the etiquettes of the Muslim when it comes to their food. As the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when you don't say Bismillah, then shaitan eats with you. And so you end up overeating. You end up eating more because you're not just feeding yourself, but you're feeding shaitan with you. But when you invoke the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah places barakah and blessing in that food, and Allah Azza wa Jal saves you from shaitan eating alongside you. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, He shows that it is permissible to eat from that which Allah Azza wa Jal has made halal. And these verses in Surah Al-An'am obviously have to be understood in the greater context of other verses in the Quran, like the ones that we mentioned in Surah Al-Ma'idah, in which Allah Azza wa Jal goes through the details of what is halal and haram in terms of the meat and the animals that we consume. and likewise what is found in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says here, فَكُلُوا مِمَّا ذُكِرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ, eat from that which Allah's name has been pronounced over. And that's a general statement, but that general statement is specified elsewhere in the Quran, because we're told that it's not just any animal. You can't eat, for example, predatory animals. You can't eat swine or pigs. You can't eat certain other animals. You can't eat animals that have died in certain ways, even if you recite Allah's name over them afterwards. And so the verses of the Quran always complement one another, and the verses of the Quran explain one another. And so from the mistakes that people make today, not only in this issue but in many issues, is that we take verses of the Quran and we isolate them. We take them out of context and we just read that and we say, but Allah said it's okay. Yes, Allah said okay here, but Allah Azza wa Jalla explained it further elsewhere. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained it in the Sunnah. So why have you taken this verse by itself and removed it from the rest of the 6,000 odd verses of the Quran and the thousands of ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And so when a person comes, for example, and they say, oh, that Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't speak about hijab in the Quran, or Allah Azza wa Jalla didn't say that men have to have beard in the Quran, and so on and so forth, what they've done is they've isolated one part of revelation from the rest of revelation. And that is why when someone says something similar about an issue to the companion, the famous companion and the scholar from amongst the companions, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu an, and Ibn Mas'ud said that you will find this in the Quran, and the person said, I've read the Quran from cover to cover, beginning to end, I never found Allah Azza wa Jalla mention anything concerning this. He said, didn't Allah Azza wa Jalla say to you in the Quran, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ, what the Messenger of Allah gives to you, take it. What he prevents you from or prohibits you from, then refrain from it, stay away from it. They said, yes. He said, that's it then. The Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this, and Allah commanded you in the Quran to follow what he tells you. And so therefore Allah Azza wa Jal gives to us this revelation. And so it is important for us to bring it together. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to us a number of instructions in the Quran, and likewise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when it comes to our meat. But the general ruling being, as Allah mentions here, that the believer is the one who pronounces the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the meat at the time of the slaughter, that meat which Allah Azza wa Jal has made permissible for us to slaughter. You have a sheep, you have a goat, you have a cow, you have a camel. At the time of slaughter, it is important or obligatory upon you to invoke the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla then says in verse 119, continuing with this point, وَمَا لَكُمْ أَلَّا تَأْكُلُوا مِمَّا ذُكِرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَقَدْ فَصَّلَ لَكُمْ مَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِلَّا مَا اضْطُرِرْتُمْ إِلَيْهِ وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا لَيُضِلُّونَ بِأَهْوَائِهِمْ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُعْتَدِينَ. Why should you not eat such animals when Allah has already fully explained what He has forbidden for you, except when forced by hunger? But many lead others astray by their desires without any true knowledge. Your Lord knows best who oversteps the limits. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and why wouldn't you eat from that which Allah Azza wa Jalla's name has been invoked upon, from that which Allah Azza wa Jalla has made halal for you? Why wouldn't you eat from it? Why wouldn't you eat from that which Allah Azza wa Jalla has made halal for you? Because the mushrikeen of the Arabs used to make halal that which Allah had made haram, and make haram that which Allah Azza wa Jalla had made halal. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will give to us examples of this in this surah and in other surahs of the Quran. And that is the way of the mushrikeen of the Arabs, that they would choose what they considered to be worthy of Allah and halal, and what was unworthy of Allah Azza wa Jalla by their own desires and by their own accord, by their own thoughts and logic. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and why wouldn't you eat from that which Allah has made halal for you? So if Allah Azza wa Jalla has made something halal for you, and the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla has been invoked upon you, then it is something which you should eat from. And as we've said before, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it haram upon us to make haram that which Allah has made halal. So for example, when it comes to this issue of meat, because we have a great many people today that prefer to have vegetarian diets or vegan diets or other types of diets, it is not permissible for the Muslim to say that meat is haram. Meaning meat that Allah has made halal, mutton, lamb, beef, those types of meats, it's not permissible for you to say that it is haram. You may not choose to eat it, you may prefer not to eat it, or eat very little of it because of your personal preference, but that doesn't make it permissible for you to make it haram upon yourself or upon others, or to say that I won't sit with those people who eat meat, or I don't like those people who eat meat, and so on and so forth. Allah Azza wa Jalla has made it halal, so why wouldn't you eat from it? وَقَدْ فَصَّلَ لَكُمْ مَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ, and Allah has already explained to you what He has forbidden to you from it. Meaning that Allah has made clear to you what is haram from the meat. So for example, even animals that are usually halal, if they're not slaughtered ritually in the correct way according to the Sharia, they become haram. the animal that dies of its own accord, the animal that's strangled, the animal that falls off a cliff and dies, the animal that is gored by another animal. All of these are different examples of that which Allah Azza wa Jalla has made haram, as we mentioned towards the very beginning of Surah Al-Ma'idah, that we spoke about this in detail. Allah Azza wa Jalla has made it clear, therefore, what is halal and what is haram, إِلَّا مَطْطُرِرْتُمْ إِلَيْهِ, except when forced by hunger. Meaning, as we've mentioned also before, that in times of necessity, in times of extreme need, when a person has no other recourse or option except to eat from that which is haram in order for their well-being and their safety and their life, then the Sharia gives to them leeway and gives to them a concession for that particular time and that moment in order for them to be able to continue to live. وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا لَيُضِلُّونَ بِأَهْوَائِهِمْ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, but many lead others astray by their own desires without any true knowledge. And that is what you find today, unfortunately, even in our time, that people will come and ascribe to the Sharia that which is not from it. They will ascribe to the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla that which the religion of Allah does not ordain, doesn't permit, doesn't speak about, doesn't say. And people come with their own logic. People come with their own concepts. People come with their own ideologies, and then they ascribe it to the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is something which a person should be wary of, because the Quran is clear, and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is clear. Both of them are easy to understand, and both of them tell you very clearly what is halal and what is haram. And that is why the Muslim is the person who not only takes from the Quran and the Sunnah, but they look at the understanding of the early generations of the Muslims, the companions, their students, the tabi'een, their students as well, those early generations of Muslims, including the four imams, Abu Hanifa, Malik, Shafi, Ahmad alayhi wa rahmatullah, and the many other imams that lived in the times of the Salaf. You look at them and you look at their understanding and you look at what did they take from this. And then you see, therefore, the pristine version of Islam, the pristine understanding of the religion of Islam, because these were people of knowledge. These were people of understanding. They lived in the time of revelation, or close to the time of revelation. They were imams, and their scholars and teachers were imams. And so to have knowledge that comes from that source and comes from that level of knowledge, that is something which the believer should always be proud of and should always look for. And that is why the Prophet told us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, خير الناس قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. The best of generations is my generation, then those who follow them, and then those who follow them. So the believer is someone who understands this. Because for the vast majority of people, they follow their desires, or they don't have very much knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jalla's commands and His revelations. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُعْتَدِينَ. And Allah knows best those who overstep. Those who overstep the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla then says in verse 120, وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَهُ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْسِبُونَ الْإِثْمَ سَيُجْزَوْنَ بِمَا كَانُوا يَقْتَرِفُونَ. Avoid committing sin, whether openly or in secret, for those who commit sin will be repaid for that which they do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about sin, and sin here is everything which is in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us to stay away from sin, that which is open and that which is secret. And that is because sometimes, for example, in this subject, or in this particular topic that Allah Azza wa Jalla is referring to in this context, and that is when it comes to eating meat that is halal or haram, sometimes you will find that people will eat things that are haram and they will claim ignorance of it, or they will claim not to know any better, but they know deeply within themselves, and they hide this, but they know within themselves and recognize that what they're eating is haram, that it's not permissible, that it's not something which Allah Azza wa Jalla has allowed. That's one example, and people often do this, that outwardly they profess ignorance, but inwardly they have knowledge. They know the reality of that situation. But it's just easy for them, therefore, to live in this state of delusion or deception. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the believer is the one who leaves all types of sin, that which is open and that which is secret. And that which they know internally to be sin, they leave off, just as they leave off that which is apparent, and they also stay away from that. And that is because, as we said, there are people who, for example, only focus on their external, but they will neglect their internal. They focus on the external stuff, so they won't steal, and they won't, for example, commit zina, they won't drink alcohol and so on. But when it comes to the internal diseases of the heart, when it comes to showing off, when it comes to arrogance and pride, when it comes to envy and jealousy and enmity and those types of things, then they don't cleanse themselves internally and spiritually. And so the believer is the one who understands that Allah Azza wa Jal has given to us things that are apparently haram, meaning openly that we do that are haram, and other things that are just as haram and sometimes more so, but they are from the internal states of the heart. Hypocrisy and showing off and those types of evils that we know from our religion. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْسِبُونَ الْإِثْمِ. سيجزون بما كانوا يقترفون. For those who commit sin, they will be repaid for that which they used to do. And Allah عز وجل يوم القيامة doesn't only hold the people to account for their apparent sins or their open sins or the physical sins that they commit, but rather Allah عز وجل will hold them to account for their internal sins as well. Hypocrisy, showing off, arrogance, pride, these are all sins of the heart. And they manifest themselves upon the body as well, but their essence is in the heart. And Allah عز وجل holds people to account for them as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse 121,
وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنَّهُ لَفِسْقَ وَإِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ لَيُوحُونَ إِلَىٰ أَوْلِيَائِهِمْ لِيُجَادِلُوكُمْ وَإِنْ أَطَعْتُمُوهُمْ إِنَّكُمْ لَمُشْرِكُونَ.
And do not eat anything over which Allah's name has not been pronounced, for that is breaking the law. The evil ones incite their followers to argue with you. If you listen to them, you too will become idolaters. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, do not eat anything over which Allah's name has not been pronounced, for that is fisq, it is breaking the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for example, eating from that which has been sacrificed to other than Allah. To other than Allah and other than Allah's name, it is haram for the Muslim to do so. Or to seek or to eat from that meat in which Allah's name hasn't been pronounced over at all. So people may not sacrifice to Allah or to other than Allah, that is equally as haram. Or likewise, as Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in the Quran, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, as we mentioned, those things that Allah has made haram because of the way that they die. They haven't been ritually slaughtered. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, don't eat from those things. Because the mushrikeen, they used to eat from those types of meats. And they would say that surely if what we kill with our own hands is permissible, then that which Allah causes to die of its own accord is also permissible. And so they would use their logic over and above and allow it to supersede the commands of Allah. The believer doesn't do so. It's not about whether it makes sense to you or not. It's not about whether it is logical to you or not. It is about what does Allah say, what doesn't He say. And so the meaning of a Muslim is istislam, that they submit to Allah Azza wa Jalla, they submit to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ لَيُوحُونَ إِلَىٰ أَوْلِيَائِهِمْ لِيُجَادِلُوكُمْ. And Allah says that the devils are those who incite their followers to argue with you. They are the ones who incite them. And so they constantly argue with you. They constantly debate with you. They constantly say different things with you. And all of this is to do with their desires and to do with their logic and to do with what they think should be or should not be. And if Allah Azza wa Jalla has created us, and Allah is the one who provides and sustains for us, and Allah is our Lord alone worthy of worship, then it doesn't really matter what you think, or it doesn't really matter what you desire, or it doesn't really matter what your deficient logic tells you to do. Because Allah is perfect and all-knowing and almighty and all-wise subhanahu wa ta'ala. And me and you are deficient in every single way. And so we can't understand every wisdom of Allah. We can't understand every command of Allah Azza wa Jal from a logical point of view. But that is why we submit to Allah and we obey Allah Azza wa Jal. Just as even in our life, there are certain things that you don't understand. Sometimes your parents tell you to do something, it doesn't make sense to you. Or your boss tells you to do something, it doesn't make sense to you. Or the government tells you to do something, it doesn't make sense to you. You don't necessarily have to understand everything in order for you to do it. But you will obey your parents, you will obey your employer, you will obey the government, because that is what you have to do. So if those are the things that we do in our life because that is how we live and that's how we continue to thrive, then what about when it comes to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to Him belongs the best of examples. وَإِنْ أَطَعْتُمُوهُمْ إِنَّكُمْ لَمُشْرِكُونَ. And if you listen to them, you too will become from the people of shirk. Because you will then turn away from Allah's commandments and you will associate your own logic or your own desires alongside Allah Azza wa Jalla in terms of worship. You will deny commands of Allah and instructions of Allah because it doesn't make sense to you. That's what we find, unfortunately, many Muslims doing today. They won't wear the hijab, they won't keep the beard, they won't pray, they won't do certain things because to them it doesn't make sense. To them it's not logical. To them they think that it's something which the men did throughout history, or it's something which you know is just part of the whole patriarchy of Islam, or whatever it may be. They will use different justifications to say that's not actually the religion. That's not actually Islam. That's something which people invented, or it's the culture, or whatever it may be. And those people are essentially using their logic and their desires to supersede the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if they were to stop and to study and to actually go, they would see that it is the command of Allah. It is the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And whether it's something which you can accept or not is beside the point. In fact, if you can't accept it, but you fight your desires and you fight your logic and you fight the temptations of shaitan to overcome that and to submit to Allah Azza wa Jal, perhaps for you the reward is even greater. Because for other people it is easy to accept the command of Allah Azza wa Jal in that particular issue, but for you it is something difficult. And so different people struggle with different things, and so these are all tests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal then says in verse number 122,
أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ كَمَنْ مَثَلُهُ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ لَيْسَ بِخَارِجٍ مِّنْهَا كَمَنْ مَثَلُهُ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ لَيْسَ بِخَارِجٍ مِّنْهَا كَذَلِكَ زُيِّنَ لِلْكَافِرِينَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ.
Is a dead person brought back to life by us and given light with which to walk among people, comparable to someone trapped in deep darkness who cannot escape? In this way, the evil deeds of the disbelievers are made to seem alluring to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, is the example of the two the same? Are they comparable? The one to whom Allah azza wa jal has given to them, the one who was dead, but then Allah azza wa jal gave to them life. But they were dead because they were upon misguidance. They were dead because they didn't know about Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal before guidance came to them. But then Allah Azza wa Jal gave to them guidance. He gave to them knowledge. He gave to them Iman. He gave to them the ability to follow the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal and to be obedient to Him. And look at the beautiful way in which Allah Azza wa Jal describes this person. وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. And then we gave to him a light by which he walks amongst the people. And that is the beauty of the Muslim. The one who knows their religion, everything they do because they know that it is something which is legislated by Allah in their worship, in their character, in their dealings, in their interactions. And so they walk upon the earth, upon that light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the beauty of knowledge. The beauty of studying the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that then whatever it is that you do in your business, in your family life, in your worship, in your aqidah, you do it based upon knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person, the confidence that they have, the mercy and blessings that Allah bestows upon them, you see them walking like a light. And other people will look at them and they will admire them by Allah's permission, and they will emulate them or seek to emulate them and have a respect for them because they can recognize the light of Allah Azza wa Jal in them. Because that is an internal light, it is a spiritual light that manifests in a different way. And those people who seek light of guidance, they will be attracted to that type of light. That person is someone that Allah has honored. كَمَنْ مَثَلُهُ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ. Are they like the one who is in perpetual darkness? لَيْسَ بِخَارِجٍ مِّنْهَا. That person cannot escape from it because they have no iman, they have no knowledge, they have no tawheed, they don't have the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are the two ever equal? The one who walks around not knowing what Allah wants, even amongst the Muslims, those who don't know what Allah wants, what is pleasing to Allah. So they have the name of the Muslim and they have the identity of a Muslim, but their whole life or sometimes many aspects of their life are in contradiction to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The two are not equal in any regard, let alone the one who is a Muslim and a disbeliever. كَذَلِكَ زُيِّنَ لِلْكَافِرِينَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. In this way, the evil deeds of the disbelievers are made to seem alluring to them. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in verse 123,
وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا فِي كُلِّ قَرْيَةٍ أَكَابِرَ مُجْرِمِيهَا لِيَمْكُرُوا فِيهَا وَمَا يَمْكُرُونَ إِلَّا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ.
And so we have put chief evildoers in every city to perpetrate their schemes there, but they scheme only against themselves without realizing it. It is from the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to the prophets and messengers and the believers, that from amongst their enemies and those who opposed them, there were always chiefs, always leaders who would lead. Whether it's Pharaoh and Qarun and Haman in the time of Musa alayhi salam, or in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the likes of Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab. Always there are leaders, whether we know them by name or not. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, as I mentioned in a previous episode, often refers to them as the mala, the nobility, the chieftains, the leaders of their people. Because the rest of them, the rest of the followers, the people, the populace or the nation will follow their leaders, or many of them will follow their leaders in this regard. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that we have always put akabira mujrimiha, the chiefs and leaders of the evildoers, in the cities opposing their prophets and messengers, لِيَمْكُرُوا فِيهَا, for their schemes to scheme against Islam. And this is from the wisdoms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because through this Allah Azza wa Jalla shows His power, and through this Allah Azza wa Jalla shows His love for the believers and His protection of them, and through this Allah Azza wa Jalla shows the outcome of the disbelievers. وَمَا يَمْكُرُونَ إِلَّا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ, because they scheme only against themselves without realizing it. And when Allah Azza wa Jalla then protects and give salvation and success to the believers over the disbelievers, despite the disbelievers may having more wealth and power and so on and so forth, Allah Azza wa Jalla then shows the truth from falsehood and He makes it distinct. And so just as you have leaders of evil, then likewise Allah Azza wa Jalla through this causes the leaders of Iman to also become manifest, like the prophets and messengers of Allah, but then from amongst their followers as well, like in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali radiyallahu anhum, and the other major companions. They also showed that they are leaders of guidance and leaders of the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the final verse that we'll take today, 124, وَإِذَا جَاءَتْهُمْ آيَةٌ قَالُوا لَن نُؤْمِنَ حَتَّى نُؤْتَى مِثْلَ مَا أُوتِيَ رُسُلُ اللَّهِ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ حَيْثُ يَجْعَلُ رِسَالَتَهُ سَيُصِيبُ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا صَغَارٌ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَعَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ بِمَا كَانُوا يَمْكُرُونَ. When a revelation is brought before them, they say, we shall not believe unless we ourselves are given a revelation as Allah's messengers were. But Allah knows best where to place His message. Humiliation from Allah before Allah and severe torment will befall the evildoers for their scheming. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that these people, when the prophets of Allah would come with the revelation and the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would say, why doesn't Allah give it to us as well? If He's given you revelation, He's sent you angels, He's given you this type of command, why doesn't Allah inspire us and reveal to us and send to us the angels as well? We will not believe until we see the signs that you have seen. We will not believe until revelation comes to us as it has come to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is also from their arrogance, also from their disbelief, also from their haughtiness, that they would seek to say this audacity, that they would have this audacity to say upon Allah, give to us revelation. We want to see it. Who are you to demand such a thing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allahu a'lamu haythu yaj'alu risalata. Allah is best knowing as to where to place His message. Allah chooses the best of His creation to be His prophets and messengers. And Allah Azza wa Jalla does not just give that to anyone and to everyone. But rather, this is one of the ways that Allah Azza wa Jalla humiliates those people. سَيُصِيبُ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا صَغَارٌ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَعَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ بِمَا كَانُوا يَمْكُرُونَ. But Allah Azza wa Jalla humiliates them, and severe torment will befall the evildoers for their scheming. And again, this is one of the ways in which Allah Azza wa Jalla makes manifest their haughtiness, their rejection, their disbelief, their turning away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with that, we come to the end of today's episode. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.